line across the moons and the seasons. Each of us wondering if we should be the one to go. Me with my book and you there watching your teeth. Are we afraid of a crucial interaction? Wasn't there something better than we used to be?
And welcome back to PMPnetwork.com. With us right now, Mary Beth Maziarz. She is the voice of Dawson's Creek, and she's actually going to be on TV soon. We're going to actually see her on TV. She's lovely. She has a great voice, but you've heard her already on the soundtrack of Dawson's Creek. In fact, her song, Daydream Believer, was voted the favorite song from a female artist at the Dawson Creek's Music Awards, and also won the Best Joey Pacey Song. Can't beat that. How are you, Mary Beth?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Wow, so finally you're going to become the Vonda Shepherd of the show.
Boy, that's what my mom's praying for.
Yeah, well, that was pretty good. We had her on when she first joined the cast of Ally McBeal, and we've had her on a couple of times since, and that has certainly worked well for her, so hopefully the same can happen to you.
Television is such a great venue for new musicians. Vonda's been around for a long time, but it's been amazing just how much a few appearances can really add to your exposure. So.
Absolutely. No question about that. Now, tell us a little bit about your beginnings. Where you're from, and where'd you get into the music scene?
I grew up in Ottawa, Illinois, which is a couple hours outside of Chicago, a really small farm town, really nice town. My parents still live there, so I go back quite a few times a year. And now I live in Park City, Utah, which is beautiful and lots of skiing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I started out playing in high school in like coffee houses and things like that. And then I went to Northwestern and I played a little bit in Chicago when I was in school, a little bit with some various little duos and a cappella groups, things like that. And when I moved out to Park City, I didn't really know what I was doing with my life, so I decided to come out west for one season. And like everybody else I know, I just never left. It's such a pretty place to live up here. And my music just kind of grew. I played in hayrack rides. I played in coffee houses. And eventually I ended up in a terrific restaurant called the River Horse Cafe. Mm. And I worked there for about 5 years, and I played quite a bit. And that's where I really learned and honed my skills, I think.
A few folks who are listening around the country, on February 15th to 18th, Mary Beth will be at the North American Folk Alliance in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And also in Utah in Alta on February 26th. So keep that in mind if you're listening around the country in those areas, or if you just want to go traveling and go check out Mary Beth. When you were growing up, who were some of the influences you had musically?
When I was about 14, I discovered Joni Mitchell, and I wondered where she'd been all my life. A lot of Joni, older singers. I had a lot of music from the 40s and 50s and even the 30s in my collection when I was in high school, which my sisters made fun of me for, but I think we're really okay as far as developing a musical style. Like Etta James and Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald, the classic singers.
Etta James has a brand new CD out.
Who is this?
Etta James.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, it's really good. We just got it in the mail a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Really good stuff.
A lot of those kind of, the women who could really sing, they weren't trying to do a lot of vocal gymnastics, they were just singing the song beautifully, and I tried to take a little from that.
Now tell us, how did you end up getting a gig on the show? You're going to be on January 31st.
You know what? It's been really amazing. I have a friend who works on the production staff of the show, and he's been with the show for a while, and over the years, I've sent him my CDs and demos and things like that, and he wasn't really able to use much, he didn't really respond too much to my stuff. And then last year, I sent him some demos I was working on, and I got back from a trip in Eastern Europe, and there was this urgent email message from him saying, we'd like to use one of your songs on the season premiere of Dawson's Creek, and I almost died. It was so exciting, and by far the biggest thing that I'd ever had happen. And so so they used the song Hold On, which actually ended up appearing on Supernatural, which is my new release.
Right.
And they got great responses to it on the show. And so they started using more. And then it grew from my friend being helpful to a real supportive production staff. Paul Stupin, who's one of the executive producers, he has been wonderful. And John McCullough is a music supervisor, and he calls and he'll let me know maybe if they have a spot for something coming up and ask me what I have available. And then it's just grown to a really, really wonderful relationship where we work together and I'm affordable and they're happy to use a new artist, and it works out really well.
And it's great because you're also included in the new songs from Dawson's Creek Volume 2. Daydream to Believe is on there.
Oh,
that's available
from
Sony Music.
True.
Yeah, that's a nice gig as well.
Oh, it was so, that was just unbelievable. I'm the only independent artist on there. It's a Sony release. And so understandably, Sony wants to promote their own artists.
Right.
And it was a miracle, really, that song got on there. But it did get a lot of response on the show. And it was kind of a heartfelt, soulful version. I don't know if you've heard it, Mark.
I did. I think it's great.
Oh, thanks.
I like it. It's interesting because it's kind of between Ian Murray and the Monkees somewhere.
But, fair enough.
It's got your own brand on it, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I always find that, you know, when you do something like that, that's been done a few different times, that it's tough to make it your own, but you did a good job at doing that.
Thanks.
You mentioned the new album, Supernatural, some really nice stuff on this album.
Thank you.
I love that, from the beginning song, Two Satellites, all the way through to songs like A Million Different Worlds, and one of my favorites, which is the Hold On, and some real nice ones. I just like the album.
Thank you very much.
Come Inside is really interesting, too.
I like that one, too. That song, Come Inside, was written because I'm from a big family. I'm the oldest of six kids.
Mm.
And so my younger brothers and sisters do a good job of keeping me young and keeping me involved and, you know, remembering what it's like at various ages. And I think as you get older, sometimes you tend to look at it through the eyes of, you know, of an adult or a parent or whatever, and you forget what it's like to actually be in that moment of being 13 or being 16 or whatever, and the intensity of those stages. And so my younger sister was talking to me about just how strongly she felt about one of her friends, a guy friend, and she just didn't see how they could make it work out, but she felt that it was, you know, that they were meant to be together, like there was nobody that she felt so strongly for. And regardless of how that turned out, that started the spark that that led me to writing Come Inside.
Hmm. And that's a nice song. I like it. In fact, I think the whole album is pretty strong.
Thank you very much.
I can see it getting picked up by a major label at some point.
I would love that.
This is your own company at this point, right?
It is. I'm an independent label. Not really out of any grand notions about independence, just because early on, I didn't really see the point in putting a lot of energy into getting signed. I really wanted to put my energy into just making the music. And I always felt that if I continue to just work hard and write and be productive, that the right company to support me will come along. And
well, the interesting thing is people like Annie DeFranco have made it so that you can have your own company and remain independent and still do well, especially with the Internet, the development of the Internet.
That's absolutely right. And Annie has led the way for so many people. If she hadn't done what she's been doing for the last 10 years, it wouldn't be possible for me to sell records on my own and make a living.
It has blazed a trail. And talking about making a living, I should help her make a living, because we will be putting a link on this interview to MaryBethMusic.com.
Oh,
everybody
you.
Out there who wants to order the CD can order it directly from Mary Beth. It's MaryBethMusic.com on the web.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that'll help you a little bit.
Thank you. It's also available at Amazon and CD Now, and they sell a lot of records for me. And Amazon especially has been really supportive.
Yeah, they're pretty good with independent artists.
Yeah, they are. And
yeah.
As far as especially some orders from unusual situations or foreign countries or different things like that, it's kind of nice that anywhere in the world they can access it. So
I understand the January 31st episode, it'll be a stretch, but I understand you're going to be playing a singer at a club.
Yes,
yeah.
That was so exciting. It was incredible.
So you're playing to an all-ages audience.
Yeah.
In this thing, and it involves Dawson himself and some of the other cast members.
Yeah, they flew me down to North Carolina a couple of weeks ago. It seems like years ago, but they flew me down to do a scene. Paul Stupin had called me and said they don't have very many opportunities for on-air talent for musicians, but they had one, and would I be interested? And while I was kind of hyperventilating on the other end of the phone, I'm like, yeah, I'd be interested, of course. And so they had me, the script was a little bit about Dawson and his girlfriend, Gretchen, and some of their friends going to see a band that that they all really liked, that they were really excited about, and I am that band. So it was a little
interesting. Nice, you're going to be singing a song from a former CD of yours, an older one?
I have a CD called A More Perfect World that was a real small release, and I don't sell it on Amazon or anything. It was just on my own website.
Mm-hmm.
And it sold very well. It's basically all the songs I've done for Dawson's Creek and a few others. And so so that's available too, and it's I made it real affordable. It was like $10, and it was only in response to requests for it, but actually it's been kind of nice. It's very mellow. It's a lot of piano vocal renditions of things, and this is one of those songs.
Waiting for a Sinus Call, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't have that CD. I wish I did. I would have played it.
I'm sorry. I would. I'll
Shame
give
on
you,
you
one.
Maybe you can send it to us another time.
Absolutely.
We'd love to have it. I understand that you went through a big to-do about picking out a wardrobe for the show.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, in high school, I used to be kind of a chunk, and so I'm aware in my adult life of always wanting to look kind of slim and trim. You know, I work at it pretty hard now.
Uh-huh.
And so they encouraged me to bring my own wardrobe, and then I would also try on some things there, and we would, between the two, come up with something that worked. And so I brought some clothes I had, some like satin pants that are very hip and some kind of slinky tops and things like this. And when I got there, I tried on lots of outfits, and we ended up with this outfit that looked great. It was some black satin pants and this kind of poochie-esque top that my brothers and sisters would have just laughed if they saw me in it. But it was very hip, and it's kind of what you see in a lot of the fashion magazines. I'm sure it's worth more than my car. And I tried it on, and it looked great. It really did. So they take digital pictures of every wardrobe choice.
Right.
And then look at them later to see how they look on film. And in the end, the poochie-esque top looked ridiculous on film. It just expanded and looked really odd. So I ended up getting to wear a BCBG outfit of mine that I felt very comfortable in.
There you go.
It was great, yeah.
You're a lovely lady, and TV seems like a natural juxtaposition for you.
I hope so. I really enjoyed myself.
Mm. Well, we look forward to much more from you. This is Mary Beth Maziarz. It's tough for me to learn these names, you know. It's a tough job for me. That's the hardest part of this job is getting people's names right.
I bet.
Our
I
new
bet.
CD is called Supernatural, and it's available at MaryBethMusic.com. And you can see her on Dawson's Creek January 31st. Make sure you check it out. An episode, brand new, and you can actually look at her in her BCBG outfit. So that could be an exciting moment for all of us. Mary Beth, it's a pleasure talking to you, and good luck, and hopefully we'll check into you when the next CD comes out.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wasn't really sure what it was all about, but it felt like I was disappearing. So I ran to the mirror to check it out. I said, here I am, here I am, here I am. But why do I feel like the invisible man? I stumbled back into the bedroom and stared out at the rising sun. Then I heard myself shout out the window, not really talking to anyone. I yelled, here I am, here I am, here I am. But why do I feel like the invisible man? Lights went on, people started yelling, will the crazy man go back to bed? And there I was, laughing out my window, feeling much better now. Somebody heard what I said. It's no big thing, no revelation, no answer to these lives we lead. But I think I do know one thing. Sometimes I think we all need to say, here I am, here I am, here I am. When life makes us feel like the invisible man. Life went on, people started yelling, will the crazy man back to bed. And there I was, laughing out my window, feeling much better now. Somebody heard what I said. Woke up this morning with a funny feeling. Wasn't really sure what it was all about, but it felt like I was disappearing. So I ran to the mirror to check it out. I said, here I am, here I am, here I am. But why feel like the invisible man? Oh, here I am, here I am, here I am. But sometimes I feel like the invisible. Here I am, here I am, here I am. But why do I feel like the invisible to a tender age, so full of confusion and rage. Daddy says, boys, your mama's gone. There's a hand on your shoulder as you're throwing dirt. Someone says time heals the hurt. Little man, you got to keep on keeping on. Is mama's arms. You ride back home in a limousine, the saddest car that you've ever seen. Your brother cannot look you in the eye. Lightning strikes, thunder roars, an early winter in that heart of yours. You swear you won't let them see you cry. Cause all you want is mama's arms. The neighbors come and bring you pies, endless words and futile sighs. Then you run up to your room and lock the door. There you are in your Sunday best, the way your mama would have had you dressed. And you realize it doesn't matter anymore. Cause all you want is mama's arms. Round and round. All about. Now those are questions you can do without. You laugh them off and do the best you can. But all you want is mama's arms. All you want is mama's arms. Thank you. You're my peace of mind. In this crazy world, you're everything I've tried to find. Your love is a pearl. You're my Mona Lisa. You're my rainbow skies. And my only prayer is that you realize you'll always be beautiful in my eyes. The world will turn and the seasons will change, and all the lessons we will learn be beautiful and strange. We'll have our fill of tears, our share of sighs. My only prayer is that you realize you'll always be beautiful in my eyes. Will always be. Beautiful in my eyes. And the passing years will show that you will always grow.
Never more beautiful
in my eyes. On my face from a lifetime of smiles. When the time comes to embrace for one long last while, we can laugh about how time flies. We won't say goodbye, 'cause true love never dies. You'll always be beautiful in my eyes. You will always be. Never more beautiful in my eyes.